aloud.
So before starting this whole new chapter, I was working in an office super intensely most of the time. I had gotten to a place where I had some pretty good flexibility because I had earned it. Mm-hmm. But then I switched companies. And I thought I had negotiated everything, including that flexibility. And what I learned is that wasn't true. And that was really hard when I was like, wow, but I asked, I had to, like, it's in writing. But the reality was, like, I also wasn't willing to stop that job and like put that on hold. So, but I knew that wasn't a happy place for me. Mm-hmm. And so starting Kahila, when we really sat down and hashed through that. It was like, you know, I want to make sure I set the right boundaries mm-hmm. for myself so mm-hmm. that because I do want to be with my kids. I do want to see them and my husband and have relationships with all of them. And so just setting all of those parameters and then really being thoughtful and being like, no, this is fine. Like, I am going to say no. And I'm going to say, I've got to go to this thing at school. And I'm going to make sure that I always support Noah and any of our other team members that have the same thing. Like, they've got a personal thing they need to go deal with, or they want to, and they've asked for that time, is to respect that and be like, I've got to be both the model and also encourage everybody else to like have a life. What I learned is through my career is like, you want to work smarter, not harder, right? So learning to be super efficient. And I think that's something that also happens a lot with moms, working moms, is realizing like, whoa, what do I actually need to get done? And everything else starts to fall to the wayside. It's like, here are my big priorities in life. And then because of that, these are things I need to get done each, you know, week, day, month, whatever that might be. And it really just gives you like this laser focus. And that, but you have to be okay to say like, I'm okay for now dropping these things. Mm-hmm. And again, like letting go of the guilt of like, I can't do that now. But maybe I'll do that later if it's a priority. But today, that's not the highest priority. I mean, a lot of people you hear, you've got a startup, you're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I, you know, we work really hard, but we work really efficiently so that we don't have to be those people, because that just sets you up for burnout.
You are allowed to be whole. Allowed.
When you were born, you were whole, perfect. Then somewhere along the way, you learned that parts of you were not allowed here. What are the pieces of you that you've put into the basement? The parts of you that we cannot see anymore or that you cannot even remember? And how can you reclaim the wholeness that is your birthright? I'm Dr. Camille Joyce, and I'm here to join you in exploring these questions and many more you didn't even know you were allowed to ask. You are allowed to grow. You're allowed to dream. You are allowed to be exactly who you are and to become the next version of who you want to be. Start your journey of exploration with me right now on Allowed.
Welcome. You are listening to Allowed, and I am your host, Camille Joyce. This week, we have an episode to share with you that is going to inspire you so much to design the business and leadership lifestyle of your dreams. Regardless of what you do with most of your day, you are a leader in your own right. We lead in our home lives, we lead in our work lives, we lead in our personal lives. And guess what? It's all one big same life. We are whole humans who have whole lives, but often when we make choices about how to spend our time, how to design our working relationships, how to lead in any area of our lives, we neglect certain parts of ourselves. Today, I'm bringing on two guests who happen to be dear friends of mine, and I have seen firsthand their own personal evolutions, as well as the very rapid growth and explosion and evolution of their business, Kahila. Noah Reese and Kim Havens are two co-founders who have found a way to lead together that supports each of them in their whole beings, as well as supports their whole families, and in turn is building a thriving business and community of women around the world. I think you're going to find a lot of inspiration from the specific decisions they've made and the specific, very commonplace leadership advice they have chosen to ignore, the advice that did not work for them or serve them. These two women are deeply in touch with their own instincts, a lot of which I believe is served by their history doing a lot of outdoorsy sports, and I cannot even begin to tell you how much I cannot keep up with these two on the slopes. I'm so excited to have them here today. I think you're going to get a lot out of this episode. And I want to invite you, as you're listening, to ask yourself, what's the tweak that I want to make that this can be an example of for me? How might I find areas where I've actually said yes to some stuff I didn't have a whole body yes to? Can I get more creative to find that win for all solution in my own jobs, my own roles in life? Welcome to the show, Noah Reese and Kim Havens.
Thanks for having us.
Well, this time when we're meeting, we're not hiking, we're not camping, and we're not skiing, which are things that we have done together many times. And we're so lucky to get to do that. Today, we are chatting. And I'm so excited for you to tell our audience about the choices that you've made, how it all works for you. But first, maybe you could share a little bit about your organization and how it came into being.
So our company, Kahila, as you very eloquently mentioned, we are an online executive women's network, and we provide curated content, coaching, and community with like-hearted peers, like-minded peers, for women on the rise. So middle management right through to executive vice presidents, really looking to help women step up and show up as their wholest, fullest selves through learning and leadership development.
I'm all about it. I was fortunate to get to be a part of a few of the events. And what's been really neat over the last 2 years, I guess, is seeing the evolution of your idea, this vision that you had, and how much it's changed in a very short amount of time as you've learned. And of course, the world changed around you. Where did this begin, and where is it now, and how is it different?
Well, you sort of indicated earlier, but Noah and I started this business only 2 years ago, and we come from super different career backgrounds. So very quickly on mine, my background was in commercial real estate development. And what I found is a very male-dominated world. I was often the only woman physically at the table, many meetings. Mm-hmm. And so I quickly was searching for, you know, what are the organizations? Who are the people I need to meet? Where are the women? There are some, but how do I get to know them? So through my career, I spent a lot of time finding, connecting with other women in the profession, and then trying to do that for other women who are also coming up. And fast forward, one of the things that I heard a lot, I ran a women's organization specific to commercial real estate in San Francisco. And what I ran into a lot there was like amazing women who were totally overqualified for their positions, right? They were really good box checkers and they kept checking more boxes. And so I was like, you should have a bigger job. You know, the guy down the hall from you, just, he put in the ask. He asked for the job. He asked for that project. He asked for a raise. And I'm really frustrated continuing to hear like, I just need one more year, or I need this degree. Mm-hmm. Or so the combination of like seeking women to learn from and network and be sponsored and mentored by, and doing the same for others, with wanting to encourage and challenge women, is where kind of where I was when I met Noah. I'll let her tell about her path to where our meeting.
So Kim and I actually met through our eldest daughters being in kindergarten together, which is where all wonderful business partnerships should begin. And we connected immediately with this kind of kindred spirit of, we were both really driven, ambitious women, but also committed to showing up in our personal lives for our family. And that was a really unique part of our connection. And in my career, most of my career has been in the entrepreneurial world. Most recently, as before this, as a founder of a women's activewear company. And I founded that and ran it for about 5 years. And I made a decision to exit the business because I was really unhappy, incredibly unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. And in that process, it was a really painful decision because I had investors, I had a lot of stakeholders and a team, And it was a painful decision, and I felt incredibly isolated. I didn't have a network of women who could help me navigate how to go through that process of the exit. And, you know, spend a lot of time on a Google rabbit hole, which just doesn't really lead to very many green pastures. And I realized, gosh, there's got to be a way to connect women to each other, to be able to support one another through challenges, but also celebrate each other through accomplishments. And another real kind of epiphany for me was that I made this choice to exit a business that I had founded. And I also was really driven by, how do we empower women to really own their choices, whether that is staying at home and being, you know, a stay-at-home mother, or, you know, having a career, or having, you know, the choice to not have children, all these choices that women have the ability to make. How do we empower women to really get in the driver's seat, not be in the passenger seat of, you know, how did I end up here, but be in the driver's seat? And so Kim and I started connecting. And as we've shared, we had very different careers, but we were both really driven by empowering women to get in the driver's seat and empowering women to step up and show up in whatever their choices may lead to. And so 2 years ago, we launched the business, and initially it was a B2C platform. And it was, you know, as we were kind of testing the concept, we did a whole bunch of in-person events, but always the goal was, how do we have as big of an impact as possible? And so that was, it's got to be digital for us. And so the goal was always to really build this big community, because we connected with women in both of our networks. You can hear from my accent, I'm Australian. And when we tested this hypothesis of, would women be interested in what we were building, we got a resounding hell yes from women around the world. And we realized, well, we're not the only ones who feel like this. You know, we're established in our careers, we're established in our relationships. We already know perfect doesn't exist. We already know work-life balance doesn't exist. And yet we're striving for more. And so when we realized that, we figured it had to be digital. And so initially started as B2C and in person. And then we, over the last year, actually in 2020, we fully moved to B2B and digital. And thankfully that happened before COVID hit. So we were well placed, which was really serendipitous.
Thank goodness. It's been really amazing to get to attend some of your events and meet a lot of the people that are in your community. What I really appreciate about it is the tone with which you hold this whole entire conversation is really one that is not seeing women as victims, but it has that challenger energy that we talk about a lot on this podcast around, I believe more is possible. And my answer to your complaint of it's not possible is no, and bring it forth. And some of your earlier events even included doing outdoor adventure type things that were physically challenging. And also you could opt out if you wanted to, which I chose to do one time. And and so I really have appreciated that. And I have also experienced it as who both of you both are as people in your private lives. I'm wondering if any of that is related to what you've learned about your own unique zones of genius. Do you feel you've identified your zone of genius? Have you discovered what it is, and where does challenge fit in there?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. We bring this up all the time. We talk about it. I don't know if I've actually found and labeled my exact zone of genius. There is something about, I mean, as you said, this idea of, you know, when we first started and we're specifically doing things, a lot of things in person, the connection of the challenging and connecting mind, body together. So challenging somebody to whatever your level is, as you mentioned, like in an outdoor, if we were doing an outdoor event, whatever that thing is that's just a little bit harder than you're used to doing, pushing yourself to do that because that's where the growth happens. Or, you know, mentally, or taking on a project at work, same thing where you're like, oh, I feel really out of my comfort zone. So that doesn't get to what my zone of genius is, but it is a space that I personally like to play in, where I find maybe there's something there, where I find myself in real flow when I'm like really pushing myself hard.
So and I remember when I first met you, you were about to leave on a year around the world trip to go fly fishing and climbing mountains and
I would say maybe my zone of genius is throwing myself into things that I do not know. There's it's unknown. And it's actually, it is where I'm very happy playing, living in, like, I don't know what the path is going to be. I find it very exciting and interesting because anything is possible, right? When you're like, there's so many options that anything really could happen. It's what can I create out of this space that I think I find exciting? And who might I meet on this path and journey right now? And what that I can't even predict might happen. That's exciting to me.
Oh, there's so much curiosity in that.
Yeah.
Noah, is this, how on the same page are you on this?
Very. And I would say I also don't think I've yet kind of labeled or articulated my specific zone of genius, but I know that when I feel most in flow, it's this sense of curiosity, being a student, connecting with, you know, having conversations like this. Time flies for me. Mm-hmm. And then I also love pushing myself outside my comfort zone as well. And the unknown. Go ahead.
Not to interrupt you, but just as we're talking right here and thinking out loud is, you know, we've both done a ton of travel in our lives. We've both lived in multiple places. Neither of us live in our, you know, hometown today or anywhere near where we grew up. And actually in a very, very different environment too. So like there's a lot of, we both, I think, enjoy that change that happens.
Yeah. I would say we also both like to color outside the lines. We both hate being put in boxes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's an interesting dynamic between the two of us that, you know, we don't like to stay in one lane. We don't like to, you know, be labeled as only one thing. We both have really grown comfortable with being, you know, multi-hyphenates, this, and this, rather than just one thing. And I think so many of the women we speak to and admire are also multi-hyphenates, and they bring so much to what they do because of all this additional parts of their identity, which is fascinating. But I think because we are founders of a small business, you know, we have a really small team, but it's a fast growing startup. We don't yet really have the luxury of completely operating in our zone of genius because we have to do everything that the business requires. But I think we're also both really good at, you know, zooming out and looking at the big picture and then coming back down and, you know, getting super granular on what is the details. Okay, what do we need to do to get it done?
Yes, the so I've seen you two in action. I know what that sound indicates. And so there's so many things about how you lead together, how you, both of you lead together, that I just love and appreciate and I find so inspiring. And, you know, one of them is decision-making. Can you talk about how you make decisions, how you make decisions together? How is it related to this more, you could even call it like a genius space that you both like to be in, even if it's not, you may not have a few activities only that you like to do, but I feel like there's something about the way that you two make decisions together that supports both of you being in that flowy space of, I'm tackling the unknown, I'm being challenged, I'm throwing myself right in. So I'd love you to just talk about that, that decision-making piece.
Well, first I will say when we have big decisions to make, we go for a walk or a hike. We always move to have those conversations. We both need the expansiveness of like the visual expansion of being outside and just being able to see far, as well as the, we know there's that mind-body connection again of like getting your energy moving. And when that happens, like my brain just turns on and we have the most amazing conversations, and we'll go through that whole range of like, okay, here's the big picture. Here are a whole bunch of options. Wait. And then the other person will be like, wait, here's a whole different side of options that I see, because that's the thing. We're actually pretty different, but we both feel like we live in this space of like, we can be in the big picture, as Noah was saying, but dive deep. And so but we have different lenses. And so the way we flow together is really this incredible back and forth dialogue while walking. So that's where we are in our like big thinking, creative process. Typically,
Does it slow you down? Does it make it more time consuming? This is some pushback I've heard from leaders about, you know, I'm like, you guys got to get out and walk this out. And then there's, oh, you know, we got so much to do. Got to stay in the office, a 15-minute meeting and make it. So yeah, where does efficiency play in?
It definitely does not slow us down. I think if anything, it helps our pace because we both make decisions really fast and execute really quickly. And so, but that said, you know, it might be like 6 a.m. that's the time that we can fit in to do a hike or a run. And there's also something about like not making eye contact, moving and not making eye contact that allows us to have really honest, big conversations. And, you know, we're like, well, what about this? Well, what about this? And that could happen. That could happen. And by the time we get like 8/10 of the way through the journey, we're like, okay. And then here's the three things that we've eaten. You do this, I'll do this. Yep. Okay. Go team. And it's like a coach, you know, we've coached each other on like, here's the plays. You know, and here's what we're doing. And then there's also just, if it doesn't work, who cares? Move on. You know, we both hold ourselves to a very high standard though, which I think is a really unique part of our partnership because we make decisions really quickly. We execute very quickly. We both operate at a very fast speed, but yet we're both very self-critical and hold ourselves to a very high standard. And that helps in that like pace over perfection thing because neither of us would tolerate sloppiness or mediocrity.
I would say we're both probably reformed perfectionists. And so we can definitely see like, oh, we could make this 100%, but also what is perfection, right? Like what's, and so we know and have realized through our own, you know, lives that like that is not the most valuable. And to us, actually that forward movement is so critical, especially in a small business. Like we have to move fast and we can criticize ourselves. And we do, we'll be like, oh, I should have just read that one more time before I hit send. But the reality is it rarely comes back to bite us and moving fast has much better positive impact than moving slowly and perfectly. Is what we found.
Is there a particular decision you can remember making that was especially difficult or challenging?
We have a rule between us. So you can see we make all, everything is 50-50. We make all decisions 50-50. We collaborate on everything. And that was a decision that we made. We tried to stay in one lane and it didn't work for a lot of reasons. We were both miserable and also the output totally dipped and the quality totally dipped. But we now have a rule that if one of us or both of us are not 100% about like the, yeah, let's just do it kind of decision, we'll sleep on it. And we'll say, let's just wait, revisit. Something's not quite right about this. Let's wait. And then we'll come back tomorrow and we'll be, oh, we missed this part of it. Or maybe we need to think about it differently. And so that's how we make big decisions.
You both want to have a whole body yes before you move forward on something big.
Yes. Yep. That's correct. We definitely do that. And again, we might do that walk, hash it out, both feel like I'm not, or one of us might be like, I'm just not there yet. And then we sleep on it. And then we've pretty much always the next day been like, okay, if you're still not 100% there, then we're not going to do it. It's okay. We move on from that. And that's worked really well for us. I will say like a hard decision, you know, a year ago, we were supposed to have an in-person retreat, just as an example. Would have been amazing. We had, you know, experts coming in from all over and we realized we had to pivot our business and we needed to make some massive changes. And the reality was we were even smaller than team that we had to cancel. We had to cancel event. We had to refund people. We had to let down our experts because it would actually, by doing that, we had the chance of transforming the company and growing and like surviving and growing. Otherwise, like we probably would have had a wonderful event, but the likelihood is we may have been shut down after that. And that was one of those viscerally painful decisions that we had to go through. And then we had to be like, okay, you call her and I'll call her and like have every single personal conversation to explain what was going on and why we had to make this decision and why we did. And that was like a full on, you know, together decision of the same thing. It took us a couple of days to get there to be like, this is it. We know it in our gut. This is our right decision, even though it is a horrible, painful thing to do. And we're so, as soon as we did it, we were like, that was 100% the right decision. Yeah. And we got such good support from the people we had to let down who were like, we get it. Like, thanks for being honest, you know?
I'd love to get into this one more. It's such a good example that you can have a whole body yes and still have a lot of strong emotions. You can still feel like the sadness of grieving the thing that's not going to happen anymore that you thought was going to happen, and grieving of, you know, whatever impact that has on others. And you can still feel scared, but you know when your energy is freed up by the decision, like, yeah, that whole body yes, like I can trust it. And what I'm hearing is more, you didn't have a whole body yes to doing the event anymore. It wasn't like it was a full stop no. Of course you would have loved to do both, I'm sure. But it was a high integrity decision that was in line with your bigger commitments that you had a big whole body yes to. And then, you know, some things are details and they can change.
Yeah. I would also add to that, you know, I think because we make every decision together, I would say I get us to 0 to 180 degrees and Kim is 181 to 360 degrees. And so we can, like, something's not feeling right. And Kim's like, I know I'm feeling the same, and we can kind of hash it out and get this augmented 360 degree perspective that if there was only one of us, mm-hmm. we'd never see the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And it's enabled us to then make decisions fast, execute fast, because we can trust each other. She's got my back. I've got her back. We're going to make decisions constantly for the betterment of the business. Mm-hmm. And if one of us is icky about something, the other one will generally help get that full perspective on what's at stake or what the decision needs to be that we just couldn't do if we had just one of us.
Yeah. It's so counter to a lot of the traditional advice that I'm guessing you have received from various advisors to have very clearly defined roles, separate swim lanes, not double duty on decisions. You don't need, quote, need to. And there's this story in the world of business rhetoric that separate is better, separate is more efficient. Now, I'm maybe drawing conjectures here, connections that are not there, but I make up a story that there's something really uniquely feminine about the way that you lead together. We don't have enough examples of how to lead as a woman in a way that is in support of us and our full lives and our full selves. I think we have a lot of examples of, you know, frankly, of men leading and fewer women to turn to, which is beautiful because it's the very reason why you created your organization. And then you're this walking embodiment of the change you want to see.
We're trying to be, yes.
I'd love to learn about kind of the maybe bigger picture that your work together is nested within, which is, you know, your whole lives. How is it that your leadership shows up in the rest of your life? Is there a relationship between how you've designed your business and what your personal lives are like?
Definitely.
Yeah. It was funny. Before we started the business, we sat down and we kind of hashed out, because we were friends first. We hashed out sort of an operating agreement of what was really important to each of us, what each of our values were, what were our non-negotiables, because we wanted to put everything on the table to protect the friendship as well. Mm-hmm. And it was really clear that we were both committed to being mothers. We were both committed to being wives. We were both committed to being whole humans, and that the business was fueling our soul because we love what we get to create in this business, but it wasn't our whole beings. It was a part of it. And that very clear understanding of, you know, if my kids need me, I'm going. If Kim's kids need her, she's going. And so that might mean, you know, on 11 a.m. on a Thursday, we got to go do something at the school. And I had never had that mutual mm-hmm. respect and understanding in business partnerships before.
How has it changed the way that you relate to yourself as a mother and a wife?
I think I have gotten so much better at dealing with mother's guilt. Because I feel like especially through COVID, now that my kids are physically seeing me work, mm-hmm. I feel proud, and I know that they feel proud because they get to see me create a vision and work really hard, and their dad work really hard, but they, you know, they get to see the labor, not just the fruits of the labor.
How about you, Kim?
Yeah, I mean, similarly, just wanted to, so before starting this, before, you know, this whole new chapter, you know, I had a nanny that worked 60 hours a week. So I was working in an office super intensely most of the time. I had gotten to a place where I had some pretty good flexibility because I had earned it. Mm-hmm. But then I switched, because I switched jobs, companies, and I thought I had negotiated everything, including that flexibility. And what I learned is that wasn't true. Hmm. And that was really hard when I was like, wow, but I asked, I had to, like, it's in writing, but the reality was, like, I also wasn't willing to stop that job and, like, put that on hold. So, but I knew that wasn't a happy place for me. Mm-hmm. And so starting Kahila, when we, really sat down and hashed through that, I was like, you know, I want to make sure I set the right boundaries mm-hmm. for myself so that mm-hmm. because I do want to be with my kids. I do want to see them and my husband and have relationships with all of them. So I don't find myself alone, because that's not fun mm-hmm. For me. And yeah, so just setting all of those parameters and then really being thoughtful and being like, no, this is fine. Like, I'm, you know, I am going to say no, and I'm going to say, I've got to go to this thing at school, and I'm going to make sure that I always support Noah and any of our other team members that have the same thing. Like, they've got a personal thing they need to go deal with, or they want to, and they've asked for that time, is to respect that and be like, I've got to be both the model and also encourage everybody else to, like, have a life. You know, we can get, the reality is most people are, I would say what I learned is through my career is, like, you want to work smarter, not harder, right? So mm-hmm. learning to be super efficient. And I think that's something that also happens a lot with moms, working moms, is realizing, like, whoa, what do I actually need to get done? And everything else starts to fall to the wayside. It's like, here are my big priorities in life. And then because of that, these are things I need to get done each, you know, week, day, month, whatever that might be. And it really just gives you, like, this laser focus, but you have to be okay to say, like, I'm okay for now dropping these things. Mm-hmm. And again, like, letting go of the guilt of, like, I can't do that now, but maybe I'll do that later if it's a priority, but today that's not the highest priority. Mm-hmm. So yeah, really being thoughtful about building, like, the whole life to, like, fit into starting. Cause I mean, a lot of people you hear, you've got a startup, you're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we work really hard, but we work really efficiently so that we don't have to be those people, because that mm-hmm. just sets you up for burnout. Mm-hmm.
Have you been burnt out before? Also,
Definitely.
Definitely. Completely.
Oh my God. And we now recognize the symptoms in ourselves. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we both want to show up to be the best versions of ourselves for our company. And so if we're feeling burnt out, you know, neither of us will speak to each other on the weekend, because we've just, like, I've got to plug myself back into the wall. I need to mm-hmm. not talk to any, whatever that mm-hmm. looks like for both of us, because we want to be as efficient as possible when we're at work. And we were very disciplined about what are the big things we've got to get done this week. You know, what do we either need to delegate or eliminate mm-hmm. In order for us to then be efficient and then be with our families. And, you know, and we're also very disciplined on the weekends of, you know, if we do catch up because we're friends, we don't talk about work. One of us will be like, can I just tell you one work thing? And we ask for permission from the other person so that, you know, work is work and mm-hmm. we can then, life is life. And what that I really appreciate is that enables us to come to the office, whatever the office looks like these days, but come to work renewed, refreshed, and energized and, you know, full of ideas. Because otherwise, you know, if work is 100% of your life, you will burn out, and we've both burned out, and you stop seeing the forest from the trees.
Yes, that downtime is so key for our creativity and making decisions. And I think, you know, early in our careers, we often kind of buy into this story that we should be able to keep working nonstop all the time and that we shouldn't need any downtime. But I think it's just truly, I don't think there's a lot of knowledge and awareness around how critical that unplugging is, not because we're weak or we just need the rest even, but it's truly like this is a key piece of the creative process and our brains need that time and space. And it's going to work in the background and come out with something way better than it could if we were working on it the whole entire time.
Completely agree.
And I was just going to add to that. We don't subscribe to the idea that work just happens at work. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes because we're both committed and, you know, our flowy kind of time happens learning and being curious. We both make an effort to listen to podcasts, read, you know, we're trying to augment our perspective from as many different sources as possible, but that also takes time. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that we do have time to be reading and learning and just keeping our antennas up so that we can come to the business with most creative ideas and the most refreshing ideas.
Yeah. Okay. So what I want to just underscore for our listeners here, especially those of you who may be parents, who may be feeling like something's a little off, or those who want to be parents someday, that it is actually really beneficial to listen to all of those instincts and that it is very possible, but so seldom practiced, to design your leadership in a way that serves the whole. And the whole part of you, that's going to guide you to the thing that will be most successful. I mean, these two amazing women, their organization has grown so quickly and they're working with top, top name companies, extremely influential, you know, world-class C-suite leaders, and are in very, very high demand. And what they've put together in a short amount of time is incredible. So please don't let anybody tell you who has not tried it before that you can't design it the way you want to because it needs to look this one certain way that it looked in 1950 when men were in charge of everything. It does not need to be that way. So like give yourself the freedom and space to like start from scratch and say, how would I want it? Like the two of you did. Like I sat down, what's important to me? What are the agreements I want to put in place to make this whole entire thing a whole body yes for me? And continually coming back and like, is this working? Is this working? Is this working? Like, we can keep renegotiating like that. I just want to give everyone, please, that challenge to do that for yourselves. In our last few minutes together, I'm hoping that we could turn to a personal topic. One of the challenges of parenting while running a company is for those of us who are so fortunate, we are co-parenting. We have a partner, a spouse, another human adult who we are trading off and co-leading our own families with. And often they have careers. And in our cases, all three of our husbands have careers. Any advice for us? How do you make it work? What are the challenges?
First of all, there's no right answer. And no, it gets messy. So I feel like it's constantly evolving. But for me, I would say it's communication, right? Just like with Noah and any business partner that you have, really laying down the foundations. If you haven't done it already at the beginning of your marriage, if you're married or relationship, I highly recommend. And if you didn't do it, it's okay. You can do it anytime. Like you got to sit down and have that discussion, that really hard discussion of like, this is what I really want. This is what I really need. And what do you really want and really need? And let's see how that fits together. Because I think that's where people stumble is the lack of communication and honestly explaining. So first, it means you got to figure out what you want too. So figure that out and then be really honest about it, which can be very difficult. And then figure out how you do that together, right? How everybody can win together. Yeah. And because without that, the stress of any job, but definitely of starting your own business, it will crumble, right? So you have to have a good foundation. So it's, to me, it was like first starting with communication and then continuing to communicate constantly.
That's great advice. I love that looking for the win for all. And it can be really hard even to be honest with yourself once you discover what you want and need. okay, now if I'm honest with myself, I may need to stand for this, and how important right. that is. Noah.
I would add to that, you mentioned renegotiating constantly, and Kim and I do that between the two of us of like, oh, this doesn't feel like it's working anymore. Let's redesign our week. Something's not right here. And so we'll spend some time thinking, okay, well, let's, you know, design our time this way. And then, you know, I think with, you know, our partners and our children, even, it's just learning to be confident, really. They're not mind readers. And that's something that I've really taken to heart this year is my husband's not a mind reader. My kids are not a mind reader. And so, you know, I am working a lot of the time and in creative times. And so if I need to explicitly tell my kids from this hour to this hour, I am on a video call and you cannot come in. And I have a sign that I've hand drawn and put outside but I have to be explicit, or, you know, really saying to my husband, like, could you make dinner on this night? Mm-hmm. So I've had to get confident and comfortable being very explicit with what I need. Somebody's about to open the door.
There you go.
We try, we keep trying and
sometimes it works well and other times it doesn't. Wait. But I also watch my language with my kids, and I really try to avoid using language "I have to work." I explain to them "I get to work," so they know I love what I do. It's a part of who I am, and mom working means mom is better at being a mom. And everybody knows that. My husband knows that, and my kids know that.
Way to use the above the line language. It does make a huge difference, I think, the little messages we're sending them.
Totally.
Well, now I'm insanely curious about what our husbands would have said about the answer to that question. And maybe that's time for another podcast.
Yes.
Kahila actually also has an amazing podcast of their own. And if our listeners would like to find out more about that and perhaps even how to join the live audience, can you let us know? How should they follow your podcast?
So you can find the Kahila podcast, which is called Conversations at Basecamp, anywhere where you get where you listen to podcasts, and join us there. And you can also reach out at info@kahila.com.
Fantastic. And I was so fortunate to be invited as a guest on Conversations at Basecamp. And next week on this podcast, we will be re-airing that episode. So you can stay right here, subscribe to this show, and you can check out the conversation I had with Noah and Kim of Kahila, the live workshop I did around how to ask for and get what you want. So please notice that it's kind of different content than I normally discuss here. We talk about negotiation strategies. We talk about ways to build your confidence if you're trying to change something in your life and in your career. So please check that out. And thanks again for having me there. And thank you so much again for your wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been such an enjoyable conversation, and thanks for your time.
I am excited to hear about how some of you listeners are going to make choices that may be a little bit different after today. Perhaps you had a realization about a way that you actually want it to be that's different from how it is. If so, please drop us a note, tag us on social media, and we'll be looking forward to hearing how you update your reality. So continue to lead fearlessly, and we will see you next week.